20 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. At the Democratic National Convention last night, two very big names in the party got the crowd to their feet. CBS's Matt Piper was there.
This crowd has gone wild for the Obamas. First, it was Michelle Obama, who spoke for about 15 minutes. And now all that clapping and screaming that you hear behind me is for Barack Obama. Michelle introduced her husband here, saying he's the love of my life and saying he wakes up every day thinking how to make this country better.
He praised President Biden and also addressed former President Donald Trump.
There's the childish nicknames, the crazy conspiracy theories, this weird obsession with crowd sizes.
Earlier in the evening, they held a ceremonial roll call vote where delegates from each state pledged their support for the nominee. It included live music and appearances by several celebs. As Democrats celebrated Vice President Harris in Chicago, political reporter Caitlin Huey Burns was with former President Trump as he campaigned in Michigan.
Michigan is such a key battleground state. Our polling shows essentially a dead heat here. And Donald Trump is hoping, you know, this is part of the blue wall, a place that he, you know, really needs to win in order to win back the White House.
Overseas now, where Ukrainian troops have advanced further into the Russian-occupied Kursk region.
Major General Patrick Ryder says the Ukrainian advance certainly took Russia by surprise.
It has certainly demonstrated the creativity and the battlefield prowess of the Ukrainians. But when it comes to what their longer-term objectives are here, that's something that we're still discussing with them.
The Pentagon spokesman also said Russia has moved a small number of forces into the Kursk region in response, but it's clear it has been a struggle. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
A special commission issued its final report on a deadly massacre last year in Maine when an Army reservist went on a shooting rampage at a bowling alley and a bar. Daniel Wathen is the chair of the Lewiston Shooting Commission.
The commission finds that the leaders of his Army Reserve unit failed to exercise their authority over him and to undertake necessary steps to reduce the threat he posed to the public.
That Army reservist was 40-year-old Robert Card. He shot and killed 18 people before taking his own life last October 25th. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris rallied a crowd of thousands at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum Tuesday night.
We are not going back. We will move forward. Just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, forward!
Her speech was streamed to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And earlier in the day, a visit from the Trump-Vance campaign, Republican nominee for Vice President J.D. Vance, came to Kenosha.
We are going to end sanctuary cities in this country. We're going to bring back pro-law enforcement cities. We're going to support the death penalty for drug dealers because they kill far more people than some of the most violent and vicious criminals.
We're now 2.5 months away from the election, so no doubt we'll keep seeing lots of each campaign here in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-2 win over the Cardinals in St. Louis. Right-hander Frankie Montas pitched 7 innings, allowing the Cardinals just 1 hit. Manager Pat Murphy.
Frankie was great. He attacked the zone. Strike one was big. I don't know what the percentage was, but I bet it was really good. He's turned it up a notch, you know, and it's kind of cool. He gets it. It's nice having his experience.
The series continues tonight. The Badgers women's volleyball team kicked off the season last night by beating Bradley 3-0 in an exhibition match. Wisconsin beginning the season ranked 3rd in the nation. NFL, after missing most of training camp with a hip injury, the Packers' second-round pick Edgerrin Cooper is happy to be back at practice.
Best feeling ever. I think that was the longest I've been without playing football, so, and just missing out and stuff like that. So it was mentally tough. Sometimes things happen, but it's about being a pro. You just have to do what you can do.
As rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly cloudy skies in the overnight and a little patchy fog forming as lows drop to the upper 40s. Our winds will be light. After the morning fog, look for sunshine to break out. Our afternoon highs will warm up into the middle 70s. It's 53 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we continue our coverage live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Trigvi Olsen, the Lincoln Project, is here along with Bill McCutcheon. We'll break it on down for you. Join us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, each and every night of the DNC this week, Civic Media bringing you special coverage from 6 to 7 p.m. It's anchored by Terry Bell tonight. Todd Albaugh and Trigvi Olsen will be broadcasting from the United Center in downtown Chicago. So make sure you join them for the wrap-up tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. We are so excited to have our next guest join us. Friend of the show, now officially a congressional candidate for the 8th congressional seat in Green Bay, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, Dr. Lierley. How the heck are you?
Hey, friends. Good morning. I'm so good, although I have a little touch of the laryngitis from all the talking that I've been doing.
I bet you do.
Yeah, probably.
I bet
you do.
That's got to be very challenging to be out on the stump. And is it just tea and lemon? I mean, because this is going to be
your touch of bourbon.
Now you're talking my language.
No, you know, I love to be out talking to people. People are saying to me, you need to rest. You're doing too much. But that doesn't fill my bucket. Filling my bucket is hearing stories and having conversations and just being around people. So Madeline, my campaign manager, and I are headed down to Chicago tomorrow, and I just can't wait to be surrounded by that energy.
Yes.
And that feeling of joy and hope. Like, yes, we're doing this.
I think America is so hungry for this. Mm-hmm. After the chaos of the Trump administration, and then coming, you know, Biden coming into office, finally taking COVID, you know, getting COVID under control, getting people vaccinated. The economy is coming back. Jobs are back. Inflation is down. I mean, and as opposed to this, America is a third world country that's going to hell in a handbasket. It's, we can do anything if we do it together. Mm. These are the, it's just such different messaging.
Together. That's what I love. I feel like we're finally turning a corner. And here in Wisconsin, we've been in the doldrums for so long. You know, the Walker administration just dismantled all of these pieces of this beautiful, progressive community state that really is built on this foundation of people coming together and helping each other out. That's how we are here, but we haven't been like ourselves for over a decade. But now we're starting to see neighbors having conversations, and sometimes they're hard conversations about things that we haven't felt comfortable talking about in the past. But we know that we have to talk about it in order to break down those barriers and get to the place where we all want to be.
What are you hearing when you talk to folks?
The number one thing I'm hearing across the board is that they're tired. They're tired of politics as usual. They want a government that works for them. They want an economy that works for them. Everybody is struggling to put food on their table and gas in their car. You know, 60% of people have nothing saved for retirement. They're living paycheck to paycheck. We can't sustain a world like that, a country like this. You know, we've got to be helping each other out and creating jobs, creating small business opportunities, ensuring that people have access to healthcare. Healthcare crises are the number one reason why people go through bankruptcy. Yeah. Here in the most developed country on earth, like, it doesn't make any sense. So there are plenty of opportunities that we have as leaders to make a difference here. And now it's feeling like there is fertile ground for us to be able to do it. And that's why I'm so excited.
Good for you.
Just the energy every single time.
Yep.
It's you. I mean, honestly, you are part of that narrative of joy we were talking about with Todd Alba. We've talked about before, the joy you bring just to life, not to your campaign only, not to being a doctor, being like, you just have overall joy, and I would say zest, joy and zest. And that is contagious. And that is also apropos of this current climate for the Democrats, which is, let's do this and let's do it together and let's have fun doing it.
Feel free to take the joy and zest for your merch.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, you can run. You can run with that. Just do whatever you want.
Joy and zest. I love that. But you know who doesn't have joy and zest right now? The Waupaca County Republican Party. I don't know if you saw this on my Facebook page, but my little sister, yesterday was my mom's birth anniversary. My mom died in 1997 of brain cancer. But every year we commemorate her birthday. I mean, she raised us. She was a wonderful human being. So my sister put this beautiful post out there, and the Waupaca County Republican Party attacked it. And not just once, but repeatedly, and then started attacking comments that people were making on the post. It is the most ridiculous. It defies understanding, but it is consistent with what we've seen from that very extreme branch of Republicans who think that they are what people want, but clearly they're not. Clearly they're just uncomfortable.
I want to make sure I have this correct. Your sister put a post on your Facebook page commemorating your mother's birthday, and the Waupaca County Republican Party started dumping on you on this nice, sweet post remembering your mother.
Not just me, but other people who were commenting and leaving nice messages, including my 18-year-old son. They got into like this back and forth, and my son was saying really delightful things, which from an 18-year-old boy, I don't hear a lot of delightful things coming out of his mouth. But he was saying some really beautiful things, and this Waupaca County Republican Party, the official Facebook presence, was attacking my 18-year-old son, who was commenting on his dead grandmother's birthday anniversary post. It's the weirdest thing, but I mean, that's what we've come to.
Yeah.
Well, at what kind of planning meeting are, it's like, yeah, let's do this because this is the best way to get our message across and helps us look like reasonable, rational people who want to sit down and fix things. That's not going to help you.
I don't think they're trying to look reasonable or rational. That ship sailed a while ago. This is the mode.
I think that they're afraid because they see what's happening in Waupaca County, which has been fairly red, but people in Waupaca County who are good, solid, wonderful people, they're seeing the light and they are having these conversations that I mentioned earlier. They're talking about the tough stuff. And when I drive through Waupaca County, I mean, there is a big liarly sign in the middle of Scandinavia. They know what's up, and there are about to be 30 more big barn signs in Waupaca County. So drive down Highway 10 next week and you're going to see them. And I think they're feeling that ugliness, that control that they've had for so long is slipping away. And what's taking over is joy and love and zest.
That's right.
You started something.
Right here, baby.
You started something.
Zest.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. She's a candidate for the 8th Congressional District that was held by Mike Gallagher until he stepped down. Now we know who your opponent will be. It is going to be Tony Weed. And I'm assuming, Dr. Lyerly, that the kinds of attacks that the WAPACA Republican Party put on your Facebook post or your sister's Facebook post, I assume Tony Weed is going to kind of bring that same stuff.
Well, they specifically mention him in many of these posts. They say this is weed country and that you can spend all the time you want here, but you're not going to win. So Trump endorsed Tony Weed is definitely part of all of this. This is his following. These are his people. And, you know, this is exactly what we're pushing back against. We don't want fear and division. We want hope and joy. We want to work together. We see a brighter tomorrow, and we recognize that it is multifaceted. We've got to create community. We've got to make sure that there's an economy that works for everybody. We've got to make sure that people can earn a living wage and get the things that they need and education, all of that stuff that where we can make a difference. We've got to start moving in that direction, and we are.
And I firmly believe, too, Dr. Lyerly, that there are many more people who are not vocal, who do not have yard signs, who aren't hosting boat parades or whatever it is. There are lots of people who keep their politics personal and they don't advertise it. And I think that that contingency is growing to lean towards the Democrats, largely because of what you just said about working together to fix these things that affect all of us. On very basic levels, healthcare, housing, food. This shouldn't be that hard. It really shouldn't be that hard.
Mm-mm. And this is where reproductive rights is such a powerful issue. And for me as an OBGYN doctor, it's just such an easy go-to. But, you know, think about it. Nearly every woman who has been sexually active in their life has used contraception, over 99%. So it's an issue that affects them. And almost everybody has a story related to reproductive rights, whether it's a woman or a man, they're young or they're old, it doesn't matter. Everybody has some sort of a story. And these are not things that we are shouting from the rooftops, but they are things that we recognize affect not just that moment in time, but the trajectory of our lives. And that is why this is such a compelling, important issue that is driving people to make decisions that will determine the future of our leadership here in this country. Exactly what you said, Jane. They're not maybe putting out yard signs or putting posts out on Facebook, but they are having conversations. And most importantly, they are voting.
Yes, they are. And I can attest to this. I've been out at the Waukesha Farmers Market a couple of times, and I will have women sidle up to me and kind of whisper, "We love your show. We love the station. We love Civic Media. Shh." It's like, okay.
You
don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to tell anybody. Listen, you can keep your politics to yourself, but the most important thing is go vote. Be involved in the process. Be a voter. It's sexy, baby. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Be a voter. It's zesty.
It's zesty. Ooh. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So for Matt Nair on Air.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops. Mm-hmm. We're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon. So, which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Although I couldn't afford it, I bought a beat-up guitar. I worked till 4 in the morning in a broken-down bar. This is why we fight.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our guest. She is a candidate.
There it is.
Congressional. It's that word. Words are hard. Words are tricky. She's a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Delighted to have you for one more segment. We have a couple of texts that I wanted to share with you, Dr. Lierley. Jack from Merrimack says, I've wondered for the last several years why people just aren't exhausted by the MAGAs constantly inciting fear, anger, and hate. It is exhausting. Hopefully, mm-hmm. so-called independent voters will recover by using the Democratic energy and put those with a positive approach into office and reject the MAGA negativism. Well said, Jack. Mm-hmm. And Matt from Germantown. We're in Germantown, Washington County, very red. Last Halloween, we had our yard signs out. It was amazing how many people whispered that they loved our signs.
Well, you know, now that we're creating these spaces and we're getting people to talk, a lot of these people in especially rural communities have not had these conversations in ages because they haven't had representation. Yeah. Northeast Wisconsin is so gerrymandered. We only have 2 Democrats representing the whole region. This is the 3rd largest population center in the state. 2 Democrats. So their representatives have not gotten out. They haven't knocked doors. They haven't talked to these people. But we've got Democrats running in all of these seats now, and they're having conversations. Our people are feeling heard. People who have voted for Trump because they thought it was different are recognizing that that isn't the different that they wanted. And they're coming on board because they're starting to believe. That's my hashtag for you, Greg. Believe. It's so Ted Lasso, but it's real. We can absolutely do this. We just have to believe.
I agree 100%.
Julie from Wausau also texted in because we were talking about Tom Tiffany before you joined us, Dr. Lierley. People need to vote for Kyle Clyborn and get rid of Tom Tiffany. Julie in Wausau. So there's at least he's got a challenger this time around.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, if you could speak to this as being a doctor, I think that people are exhausted and they're tired and they're shaken up. And I think that when you have 4 years of uncertain leadership followed by 4 years of what seems to be purposeful negative disruption of the process, everyone is shaken up too. And I don't like using the word traumatic, but it leaves a mark, essentially. It leaves a definite mark. And I think that's one of the reasons why when we see people like Tim Walz and Kamala Harris and yourself, you almost don't trust the feeling of like, I feel good right now. Why do I feel this? Like, oh, this is how I once felt. And I'm so used to being put upon by dear leader that I don't know how to feel joy.
Yeah. What is this strange lack of anxiety? It's so odd.
It's happiness, Jane. Embrace it.
It's so weird. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been very patient. Thank you so much for waiting, Mark. What did you want to say?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for taking my call. And I'm sorry that she's gotten so many negative comments about her mother's birthday. Just you know, it's a residue of Walkerism in the state, the whole divide and conquer thing. And for Tom Tiffany, I mean, there's moments I'd like to drop him from the top of the Blatnick Bridge into the middle of the St. Louis River estuary into Lake Superior there, because I grew up in far northern Wisconsin, just south of Superior, and I can remember going over that bridge many, many times, both to visit relatives in Minnesota and Duluth, and then further up in Silver Bay, you know, for a girlfriend that I had up in Proctor when I was going to school in Superior there. But, I mean, Tom Tiffany is just a wretched human being, and it seems like for the Republican Party to respond to just a simple thing like having a tribute to one's mother posted out there, to respond negatively, that just shows what...
Well,
it's their
lack of argument. You know what I mean? Mark, it's they got nothing else.
Yeah.
So they have to go for anger and hate and division and gloom and doom, and everything is terrible. And so that's kind of what they got. That's what they got.
And it's funny you mentioned the Blatnick Bridge. That's part of the infrastructure deal that he voted against. So
yes. Still,
it sure is.
Still one of the scariest bridges I've ever gone across, but still, it's a big bridge. It is a very big bridge. In the couple of minutes that we have left, Lindsey Graham was on the Sunday shows over the weekend, once again saying that abortion doesn't matter, women's reproductive health doesn't matter, it's not a thing. They just can't run away from this fast enough. Calvin, please. Honestly, it just is this has been their goal for 50 years, was to overturn Roe versus Wade and to begin cracking down on women's reproductive freedom. And now they caught the car, and it's like, I never wanted the car.
And they've controlled the narrative, I mean, this entire time. And now that they don't know what to do with this abortion issue, they've just decided not to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's going to the states. It's in the states. And we're not even going to put it in our platform. It's been the feature of your platform for 50 years.
Yes.
So it doesn't just go away. And for over half of the population, it's never going to go away. And for many more people than that, and I'm just talking about women, and for many more people than that, it is so relevant and so much a part of our lives, not just because it's a little piece of healthcare, not just because it is healthcare, but it truly does determine your economic future, your social future, where you live, what you're able to do, your education, all of those things. And people get that. So Lindsey Graham, the old single white guy in South Carolina, can say whatever he wants. But I can tell you that women and families, people up here in Northeast Wisconsin, they're not buying it. They understand what's at stake here, and they are voting.
Old, single, no children. I wonder what J.D. Vance thinks of that. My goodness.
And he probably doesn't have a cat either. Single, childless, catless man. I mean, should he even vote? I don't know. Where's his investment in this country? It's
fair.
Just, I think it's a question worth asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's still, I just am so annoyed by the brushing aside that I have heard since the leak came about Roe v. being overturned. And at that, oh, Jane, you're overreacting. No one was overreacting. We're not overreacting when we say that they still plan to do a national abortion ban. They still plan to ban IVF. They still plan to ban contraception. That's all real. It's not hyperbole. It's in Project 2025. Another thing they're trying to do what, Calvin? Let's play it one more time. Never heard of Project 2025 either. It's
no.
Never read it, never saw it. I might have seen the cover, but I never really looked at it.
I love the oversized book she brought out last night. It looked like, you know, an old, like, in 16th century Bible.
Dr. Kristen Lierley, a candidate for the 8th Congressional District, bringing joy and zest wherever she goes. We will catch up with you in a couple weeks. Thank you so very much for your time. Take care of your throat. Take care of yourself.
Always a blast hanging out with you, too. Thank you.
Take care. News is next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's all right. In our bedrooms, we are free. Do you Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. A big night at the DNC last night where CBS's Matt Piper tells us the Obamas energized the crowd.
Barack and Michelle Obama urged Democrats to unite behind Vice President Kamala Harris on the second night of the party's convention in Chicago. They challenged the assembled delegates and voters at home to harness the enthusiasm surrounding Harris's candidacy to defeat Donald Trump in November.
President Obama also took some jabs at the other former president.
Do not vote. Vote.
Also speaking, former Trump press secretary Stephanie Grisham.
I love my country more than my party. Kamala Harris tells the truth. She respects the American people, and she has my vote.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The governor's task force on the healthcare workforce in Wisconsin is giving more grants to employers so they can attract and retain staff. Other recommendations included in the task force report, education and training, and regulatory policies. The governor will include the task force's ideas in his next budget. And it's an annual contest that can be a lot of fun. The whole goal is to highlight some neat things that are made right here in Wisconsin. Here's James Kelly.
Nominations are now being accepted for the 9th annual Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. Nominations can be submitted on the contest website through September 6th. To be eligible for the contest, the nominated product must be manufactured in a Wisconsin-based facility. Voting will be open to the public and will feature a bracket-style tournament to name the eventual winner.
Every year, it's a big honor for the winner. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, if you've already spent 3 hours in the theater watching the first installment of Kevin Costner's Horizon, American Saga Chapter 1, hoping to see the next 3 hours, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, in theaters, you can't, because it was pulled due to low interest. The title doesn't help. But fear not, Costner fans. Chapter 2 premieres on Max Friday, August 23rd. Fearless comedian Eric Andre says he was racially profiled at the Melbourne airport in Australia. The star of his own show, The Eric Andre Show, in the film Bad Trip, was in Australia for a gig when he says he was pulled out of the security line to be sniffed by the dogs. He said this is not the first time it's happened and currently has a lawsuit pending against the airport in Atlanta for the same type of treatment. Those of you who are fans, I know what you're thinking, but Andre was fully clothed when the incident happened. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly cloudy skies in the overnight and a little patchy fog forming as lows drop to the upper 40s. Our winds will be light. After the morning fog, look for sunshine to break out. Our afternoon highs will warm up into the middle 70s. It's 53 at our studios.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development, I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning from Chicago, we'll wrap up day two of the Democratic National Convention and the warm reminiscence during Barack Obama's comments.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon hates that you still call Twitter. If you are looking for some baseball, we got a bunch of baseball. Brewers at the Cardinals. The broadcast starts at 6:10. You can catch the game tonight on WRCE in Richland Center or on WISS 98.3 FM, 1100 AM in Oshkosh. Crew at the Cardinals, 6:10 starts tonight on those Civic Media radio stations. Last segment of the show, we're going to talk to J.D. Thorne, who is an author of a couple of books about baseball.
I'm here for it.
I know. You love baseball.
I love baseball, and I hope that the Brewers can do with the Cardinals what they did with the Guardians, which is sweep them off the road.
That's coming up at 11:50, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, of course, the Law and Order theme.
You know, only one thing.
Food crimes. Food crime committed, apparently.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I just want to point this out because I saw this starting to cross on my Twitter feed after J.D. Vance stopped in. He was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah.
And every candidate goes to this Pat's restaurant.
Or Chino's. Yep, they're across the street from each other.
And you have to have a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
There are rules.
Yeah.
Involved in Philly cheesesteak. You have to get it with whiz. Cheese whiz.
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah. You have to get it with cheese whiz. J.D. Vance asked, why do you guys hate Swiss cheese so much? And all of a sudden, it was going all over Twitter. J.D. Vance just insulted all of Philadelphia and all of Pennsylvania because he asked a cheese question. No, people, calm down.
Yeah, this is maybe one of the only times we're going to come to the defense of J.D. Vance.
Well, I just think social media can go wacko on either side and take things completely out of context and make it a much bigger thing than it actually is.
Yes. Yeah. And if you are living in Philly and this insulted you, tough luck.
Well, he was apparently trying to make a joke because John Kerry was there in 2004 and he asked for Swiss cheese and that created a ripple. So JD is kind of hearkening back to an event from a long time ago to make a joke.
Yeah.
Which didn't fly. But again, he didn't insult them with the Philly cheesesteak. Just take a breath, people.
Well, I will preface this by saying I've never been to Philadelphia or had an authentic cheesesteak. But from the research I've done and like the Food Channel shows I've watched, and I don't mean to defend J.D. Vance because I don't like to do that. But provolone or Swiss cheese is a perfectly acceptable way to order a cheesesteak. I think he asked the question a little stupidly, like he was trying to be funny, and he's proven he's not capable of being funny. But yeah, so apparently you order a cheesesteak in Philly, you order it either wit, which means with onions.
Right, wit. So you could, it's W-I-T, wit onions.
So apparently provolone wit or Swiss wit is perfectly valid. Whiz wit is also perfectly valid.
All acceptable. All acceptable choices.
Or don't get the sandwich, because guess what? I've got a little piece of information for you. Philly cheesesteak isn't even the official official sandwich of the city. It's a broccoli Rob sandwich. Yeah!
So, okay.
They just take it so serious, and they've monetized this whole Geno's and Pat's thing, and also, I'm not going to lie.
In the competition.
If you talk to anyone from Philly, they're not the best. It's like people in, like right now, everyone's talking about, oh, we're in Chicago, deep dish pizza. People in Chicago don't eat deep dish pizza. They take their parents to Luminati's and have deep dish pizza. They don't order it on a Tuesday because they're hanging out. Ugh.
But it just got us thinking about food crimes.
Food crimes.
Near miss of a food crime yesterday with J.D. Vance, who is in Kenosha right now.
Of course he is. Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin. He has to be somewhere in a 90-mile vicinity.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will be appearing at Fiserv Forum. That's going to be a little bit later on today. J.D. Vance stopping in Kenosha. Yesterday again, big dust-up. It was not cheesesteak gate.
No.
It was not a thing. But we started talking about food crimes. Things that are you just don't do. You just don't.
Things that you don't do, but well, others do.
There are things that you don't do.
Oh, well, yeah, because I'm right.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my thing.
Yeah.
Eggs Benedict.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Poached eggs are a crime.
Okay.
They're too ugly to eat.
Or
I
they...
find them suspicious.
Yeah.
And so I will have Eggs Benedict with scrambled eggs.
So you will have scrambled eggs on an English muffin.
That has a piece of ham, and then you get all the good sauce
so
on it.
So essentially an Egg McMuffin open-faced.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Except the egg isn't square, whatever they do with their eggs at McDonald's.
They make them circular. Okay. They just use a little mold. That's fine. Okay. So you like a Egg McMuffin open-faced.
Yes.
Okay. So you don't
Because again, poached eggs, meh.
What happens when you order a Eggs Benedict and you say, can you scramble my eggs? They're like, do you know what that means?
I will, because I just was out with some friends for brunch a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
And they kind of look at you like, yeah, okay, you're odd, whatever.
Well, I mean, my wife is anti-egg, and for not because she's allergic, but because they make her sick, nauseous. The smell and the taste, everything, just not good for her. So for me, we don't even have eggs in the house for food. We use it for, like, cooking or baking,
yeah.
So for me, like, I understand the aversion to eggs. So if I was out with you, and I would probably at first be like, did you just order an Egg McMuffin open face?
Do you don't need poached eggs, do you?
Yeah, of course I do.
Kelly?
I'll eat eggs anyway.
I'm kind of in the I don't like to eat eggs at all boat.
Okay, that's cool. More eggs for me. More proteins for me.
Go
more,
for it.
More poached egg hollandaise wonderfulness.
What is your food crime? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, Greg Bach.
Yes.
I find this a very, very controversial take.
Okay, well, which one? I have...
The BLT.
Okay, so the BLT is essentially a waste of time. It's a stupid thing. It shouldn't exist. I don't understand why anyone would ever eat it and afterwards go, I'm really satisfied. You've eaten a salad with bread, like croutons. It's just dumb. It makes no sense to me. When I eat a sandwich, Jane, I want to have like some heartiness to it, like a meat or even I'll eat a vegan meat and some cheese or some whatever. I want there to be some heft with my sandwich. You pick up a BLT, this is nothing. That's basically a sad appetizer.
I feel like this is an anti-lettuce bias.
I have nothing against lettuce.
Oh, I think you're casting aspersions.
I had a sandwich yesterday with lettuce on it, Jane. I had a sandwich with lettuce yesterday.
How is that not a salad in between bread?
Because there was meat and there was heft.
There's bacon in a BLT. What are you talking about?
Bacon's barely meat. It's light. It's nothing. I want heft. I want some weight in my sandwich.
Calvin?
Well, the point, Greg, is it's supposed to be a light, refreshing sandwich. Maybe a snack on a hot summer day.
Jane, do you really believe that sandwich would be a snack on a hot summer day?
Sure. I love BLTs.
I just feel like you're ganging up on me.
I love BLTs. What's our little deli?
Rochester.
Rochester Street Deli. Yeah. They do a great BLT.
For me, it's not satisfying. And I don't understand why people enjoy them.
Then we just need to double up the bacon on your BLT.
Oh, and Jake from Milwaukee listening on WAUK says, I hate you, Greg. BLT is good. BLT is good. Make sandwiches great again. Hey, make a BLT great for starters, and I'm with you. And Vic listening on WAUK says, stop it. I'm so hungry now.
Let's all meet at the Rochester Deli. Yeah. And we'll get BLTs for everybody.
No, thanks. I'll have a Reuben.
Fine.
Calvin, what's your crime?
Well, my crime is very particular, and I think I'm also right about this. Cheddar cheese does not belong on pizza.
Oh.
It has to be only Italian cheeses belong on pizza.
I don't know if I've ever had cheddar cheese on a pizza.
I have.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, mozzarella, and I apologize, mozzarella has no taste. It's so mild.
Yeah.
It's like a suggestion of flavor.
It's a wisp.
It's a wisp of flavor.
Honestly, you're not wrong. We had one of those mozzarella balls at home, and it was like, you know, just sitting there, and I was like, I'm going to cut off a piece. And I had some, And I was like, this doesn't taste like anything.
You need basil or something. You need to add something to it.
You need the sauce, the tomato. Yeah. It's more satisfying than a BLT, I'll tell you that, when you put the whole thing together.
I'll sit next to you, and you can eat a ball of Mott's, and I will happily snack on my BLT, and we'll see who actually is the winner of this really important contest.
I'm not saying it's a winner. I'm just saying when I eat a ball of mozzarella cheese, I'm going to be like, I am satiated. I am full. Versus a BLT where I eat it and 20 minutes later, like, I need another sandwich.
Then you should have had two BLTs.
It's
the whole issue's over. You're full.
I feel like I'm being attacked right now. I feel like it's Calvin and Jane against me. And also, who puts cheddar cheese on pizza now? That's just grossing me out.
Well, my father. And it's like frozen pizza. He's like, oh, I'm going to doctor this up, make it a little fancy. And he just sees shredded cheese in the cheese drawer and is like, oh, cheese. I'll put that on here.
Does he ever add like onions and mushrooms and dress it? No, just the extra cheese is enough.
He just thinks it needs extra cheese.
Okay, so we just got an important text in from Steve listening on one of the stations, must be listening on the live stream. He says, throw an avocado on it, Greg. Well, then it's no longer a BLT. It's a different sandwich.
Well, it's a BLTA.
A blat?
Blah. Blitter. It's a blitter.
It's
bacon, lettuce, tomato, avocado.
It's no longer a BLT. That's my point. It's like you can throw an egg on there and make it a belt. I get that. I'd eat that because that's essentially a McDonald's burger with some lettuce on it, which now sounds weird. But a BLT in its most basic form is not satisfying, is not good, should be outlawed.
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream, bacon is barely meat.
Yeah.
And PJ says, Greg doesn't like bacon? Blasphemy.
First of all, never said I didn't like bacon. I'm saying if you, do you ever go to a family's house to have a Easter bacon? No, you have an Easter ham because that's a meal. That is a dish. That's an entree. You can have a ham. You can eat that and be like, I'm full. You have to eat a lot of bacon to be full, Jane.
I sign up for that.
Okay, that's fine. And I don't hate bacon, but I think it's not as satiating as.
It's not as satisfying.
Exactly.
Not as satisfying.
I've really tripped some triggers here, and I love it.
Carmela from Milwaukee texting in, hey, guys, to Greg's point, there are always preferences for original recipes that others will tweak. Having grown up in Philly until I was 11, I was never into the Philly cheesesteak. Now the soft pretzel, on the other hand.
Ooh.
I still have a thing about that. You have to have it with mustard, though. No exceptions. LOL, Carmela.
Also, someone listening on WMDX says, my husband puts half a pound of bacon on his BLTs. Don't do that. That's a lot of bacon. I would say see a doctor.
Bacon is a wonderful thing.
Bacon's fine. I'm not against bacon.
Kelvin.
Well, this is probably sacrilegious to people in Philadelphia, but Jersey Mike's has a pretty tasty cheesesteak sandwich.
Oh.
And on Greg's point, though, I will admit I would prefer to add turkey to a BLT, and then it's not a BLT anymore. It's a turkey sandwich with bacon.
Well, this is a whole nother segment. No, we're going to be here forever. No, we have to move along. We're going to talk baseball. If you are into baseball, like Greg is into baseball, J.D. Thorne is an author who's got a couple books out of about baseball, and he's going to be giving a presentation in Wauwatosa. We have all the details on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. To Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball is the topic. Our guest this morning is J.D. Thorne. He is going to be speaking at the Wauwatosa, Wisconsin Senior Center on Friday, August 30th on the subject of baseball. J.D. has two baseball books. You can get them both on Amazon. The 10 Commandments of Baseball and Baseball's Winning Ways. The program on August 30th starts at 1 o'clock. J.D. Thorne, good morning. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good to be here.
So what is it about baseball, J.D.? Why is baseball so important? And Greg here is a huge baseball fan.
Well, I think the first thing is that baseball's truly an American game. It's been a part of our history and our culture from early on, probably starting in the 1830s or so. Earlier, people report it was adapted from the British children's game of rounders, first by kids in New England, and then drifted south to New York.
And so is it just the history of the game that fascinates you?
Well, the game itself is one of my favorite lines is from sports broadcaster Vin Scully. He said 90 feet between bases is the closest thing to perfection that we know on this earth. And it has a certain way about it that it's very difficult. The best hitters will make out three times or seven times in 10.
Yeah.
And only get a hit in three times. It's very difficult. Hitting a round bat with a round ball, thrown at different speeds by different pitchers with different forms is incredibly difficult. Some say the most difficult thing in sports to do. But when it's done well, it just is a miraculous thing. I think baseball has also been a part of our culture. From the early days, from the 1860s, after the Civil War is when it really started to develop, and soldiers on both sides of the Confederate and the Union side each played baseball between marches to pass the time. And then when the war was over, the soldiers spread it to their local communities, and it started like wildfire across the country.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that's so interesting, J.D. I had no idea the Civil War connection there. That's fascinating.
Well, it is. Even in the prison camps, there are stories that the prisoners taught the prison guards how to play, and then they loved it. And it was so that was the beginning of it. Then a professional team started in the first one was in Cincinnati, started by a fellow by the name of Harry Wright. And he got the brilliant idea, you know, if I actually paid my players I'd get better players.
Which went against the rules back in those days. They was the first one to do that. Before that, they were expected to be amateurs. And Harry Wright paying his players sent shockwaves through the baseball community at that point.
Well, it did. You're exactly right. And then I think it's his influence on the early part of the game. His team from Cincinnati Red Stockings went on a barnstorming tour and won 138 straight games.
Yeah,
over a year and a half, and then they finally got beat by a team in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Atlantics, in extra innings. And once they lost, the magic was out of the air was out of the balloon, and people wouldn't go see them. Why should we go see you? We should go see the other team that beat you. And the team disbanded within about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our guest is J.D. Thorne. He is going to be speaking at the Senior Center in Wauwatosa Friday, August 30th, starting at 1 o'clock. He's got two books on baseball available on Amazon, The Ten Commandments of Baseball and Baseball's Winning Ways.
J.D., what brought you into the love of baseball? Is it something that goes back to childhood? Did you come to it later? Did you play? I mean, if you're an American, you play baseball at one point in your life.
I'd say all of the above. My father was a baseball player. My older brother was he pitched at Bradley for a while, was a high school coach for 34 years in the Chicago area in Arlington Heights. And we all played baseball. My father was a very good amateur player in the 30s. He didn't play professional ball. And it even goes back so far. My two grandfathers, the story in the family was that a parent's wedding in 1939, the two men had never met. And then over a beer after the wedding, they started, oh, you played baseball. Oh, yeah, I did. What team did you play for? And by the end of the night, they figured out they had both pitched against each other in the game in 1910.
That is...
Wow, that's crazy.
Absolutely amazing. Wow. J.D.?
Right. And I played...
Go on.
I was just going to say, I played high school baseball at a very high level in that area. And, in fact, I had two major leaguers on my high school team, guys who became future major leaguers. And so we were pretty good. Then I played at the University of Wisconsin when they had a baseball team.
J.D., we got about 2 minutes left.
J.D., we saw that the MLB was integrating the stats of the Negro League into the Major League Baseball. Thoughts on that, and you know anything that like your books cover on the old league
in baseball's winning ways. In fact, I even had the kind of fight with my publisher a little bit, and we put in a section on the Negro Leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found fascinating there, Jackie Robinson started out in the Negro Leagues.
Yes.
Hank Aaron started out in the Negro Leagues for the Indianapolis Clowns. I had a book here that a fellow had given me about a player not of any great renown, but his story was interesting. He said he played high school baseball through seven no-hitters and wanted to play, and nobody gave him a call. So he ended up calling a black team in Chicago, and the fellow said he was in Arkansas, and the manager of the team said, well, we have a practice on Monday. Today's Thursday. If you can get there by 10 o'clock and give him the name of the field in Chicago.
J.D., we're going to have to cut you off. We're coming right up against the news. J.D. Thorne going to be speaking about baseball in Wauwatosa, the Senior Center, Friday, August 30th at 1 o'clock. J.D. Thorne, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next, followed by Todd Alba right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public service announcement at 11:33. Send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ready, set, go!
Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.